Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. I was trying to play a song, but I guess it's not playing. I don't know what's going on. But how is everybody doing today? Shalom, shalom, shalom. Glad to see you. We don't want to have no music today for some reason. It's just not accurate. Can you guys hear me? If you can, somebody just push one so I know you can hear me. Hello? Can you hear me? If you can hear me, push one. Somebody push one so I can know you can hear me. I guess you can hear me. Okay, I'm sorry I hung up because I didn't know whether you could hear me or not. Sister Lavia did text me and said, yes, how is everybody doing today? Hope all is well. It looks like we're having some technical difficulties, but I did get your text message that talked about the stock market is diving. It's going to do that. It's going to do that quite often. You know, all we can do is watch it, you know, and watch everybody that has money in it panic. Because I've watched some people get real depressed here lately, but they always seem to manage to save it for some reason. I don't know why, but they do. Anybody have anything in particular that they would like to discuss today? Because we talked about Barack Obama last show that we had, and the lady was real adamant about the fact that he was a wonderful president, and I'm glad she feels that way. She has every right to feel that way if that's how she feels. I didn't get that vibe, but I mean, you know, what it is now. We have this one. Bush passed away, President Bush passed away. My condolences to the family. We are so sorry for your loss. You know, anytime anybody leaves the earth, it's a serious thing, you know, but he got to live a long life. He was 94 years old. And that's a long life, so I mean, you know. You know, he got to live a life that most people don't even get a chance to see. But still, when you lose a parent, it's a very difficult thing to do, I've heard. And, you know, my condolences to the family. Anybody else have anything you guys want to talk about? Nothing? Sister Lavia? Wow. Okay, well. Let me see what I can find. But I don't really have anything to talk about either at the end of the day. I'm glad to be home, glad to be off work. I'm tired, but other than that, glad to be an Israelite, chilling, waiting on the Most High. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, yes, that third doggone temple. You know, they sent me a video or an article on my email. Brother Yerushalayim did, about how Israel is inviting 70 nations. The 70 nations are coming together for Hanukkah over in Israel to the dedication of the temple, the altar. They've built the altar for the temple that they're getting ready to do, and they're inviting all these nations to come over. So that they can celebrate it. It's awfully powerful. I'm like, wow. They most certainly, I'm trying to find an article right now. Everybody going to push one. Hold on, let me see. Maybe we got it finally working. I guess you guys did that to let me know you could hear me. I'm going to open up your mics in just a minute. Area code 903, did you have anything to say or you just wanted me to know you heard me? Area code 903? Okay, I'll put you back on mute. Area code 210, did you just push one so that I would know you heard me?
Yeah, that's the only reason why I pushed it.
All right, wonderful. Well, I know we in business now. As you know, it's kind of lagging behind. All praises to the Most High Yah. All right, let me ask, area code 919, is that the only reason why you push one? I'm assuming yes. All right, and area code 832, is that the reason why you push one?
Yeah, I've been talking to you all the time. I didn't know you couldn't hear me.
No.
I said, too bad Bush didn't get to see his new world order.
Yeah, he was trying to hang in there, wasn't he? He was trying.
Yeah,
he really was trying. See, when I first pulled this up, I couldn't see all you all's phone numbers. So when I came back in again, I was able to see it. Hold me over, Brother Adonia's mic. Shalom, Brother Adonia. I'm going to leave your mic open, sis. Yeah, he didn't get to see his new world order.
Shalom, Sister Yain. I want to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
My question is, you say Israel is inviting 70 nations. What 70 nations are you talking about?
I'm going to pull it up. Hold on, let me see. I'm going to find out. Sanhedrin, here we go. This is what it says. All right, I'm getting ready to read it to you. It's an article. Woo, there's a lot going on in the news today. Boy, boy, boy. All right, this is what it says. It's on Breaking Israel News. And it says the Sanhedrin Council invites 70 nations to Hanukkah dedication of the altar for the third temple. And they got all these Israelis in white tunics standing on this altar. And this is what it says. Come on. I mean, it's got a block for some reason. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull this up. Okay, this is what it says. It says, the Nesat Sanhedrin released an invitation, released a dedication, a declaration to 70 nations for Hanukkah to read at a ceremony in Jerusalem on the last day of the holiday. The ceremony will include the consecration of the stone altar prepared for use in the third temple. The declaration is intended as an invitation to the nations to participate in the temple and to receive the blessing. The altar is currently in the form of loose stone blocks ready to be transported to the Temple Mount and stored in a manner that will enable them to be transported and assembled at a moment's notice. When complete, the altar will be a square 9 feet on each side and 5 feet high and includes a ramp for the priest to ascend. The decision to prepare the block and all the details of their composition is the result of a long study performed by the members of the Sanhedrin in conjunction with the Temple Institute. The stones are made of aerated concrete and are fit for use in the temple. There are plans underway to prepare a new set made of actual stones, which are considered ideal material from which to build the altar. It says they're gonna do a full dress reenactment. Now whether or not they get permission to slaughter a real animal or not is something that they're waiting on. But it does not have a list of the 70 nations. It just said they invited 70 nations. Let me see. Yeah, don't have a list of the 70. It doesn't have a list of the 70 nations. It just says that they invited 70 nations.
Yeah, I was just curious, man, you know, because he had mentioned that Israel is a white nation, a white country or nation or place. You understand? So when he said 70 nations, I'm thinking all Europeans myself.
Probably. More than likely. But they on the move. They really trying to make this happen. They are really trying to make this happen. Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a conference. It was all black conference, man. But then Rosenberg, Harry Rosenberg, who was a Jew from out of Jerusalem, and he was saying, they didn't have what he said. They just reiterated what he said, and he said that he got a solution for our problem. You know, our problem, consists of, of us being reunited with Africans in Africa. And he said that he got a solution, I wanted to say that I'm not too keen on them coming up with solutions for us. Their solutions got us in the position that we're in today, you understand? Especially those Ashkenazi Jews, those were the people that brought us over here captive. You understand? Those are ones that chained, whipped, beaten, among the ones that chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered us. You understand? And their solution has always been, it's never been in our favor. That's just my opinion. Harry Rosenberg.
I ain't going to Africa. I'm not going to Africa, no way. I'm not going with Ham, so y'all let me know how that work out, because I'm not going over there with Ham. That's not our people. So, and unfortunately, it took for the Israelis to get involved and everybody to start looking at it kind of sideways. Because I'm not going to live among them. But once the Israelis get involved, then everybody's going to be looking at it kind of sideways, like, we ain't going to do that. But I'm not going to live in Ham's land. That the Most High did not tell me to do that, and I'm not going to Africa to live. So y'all let me know how it goes, because I ain't going. I don't trust them like that. You know, but that's just me.
Well,
I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here.
Well, I don't have no alternative. I have to stay here. I ain't got no money. I can't. I mean, Almighty hasn't given me the way to go. To go back as it stands, but I I'm not sure that I can agree with everybody about Ham and what's that. I know that we dwelt with Ham, we cohabitated with their people. We sired children in Ham. You understand what I'm saying? And this is just information. You understand? And excuse me. And Judah. That land that they said, Judah land, the Negro land, you understand? That was the land, that was the coast where they came and got us from. So we was all up in Ham. And on top of that, they had an African. I got his information on YouTube. I got the video that he put out. Is that that we dwell, that a lot of our tribes are in Ghana, you understand, under another name. See, when we came down here, we assimilated with all the other folks, all them other Africans, you understand. So when people say that Africans sold us, remember now they colonized Africa too. They also. You understand, like they do us every day. You understand, they influence the situation to the point where they sold us into captivity. If those Europeans were not there, you understand, influencing them folks, they would not have sold us. They colonized Africa too. You understand what I'm saying? They split Africa up amongst their own peoples. You understand? Like,
but that's
right
what
now.
Brothers don't have. We still not the same people. It
we
doesn't
don't
matter
have,
how you try to we how you try to slice it. We're the Israelites. We're not Hamites, and we just because they're black doesn't mean that we have to go live among them. And I don't encourage anybody to do that because that's the land the Most High gave us.
Okay, I'm not trying to encourage anybody. I'm just giving you some information. You understand? We dwelt when we got persecuted and got kicked out of Israel, we came down there and we dwelt with Africans. You understand? And we sired children with Africans. Those same people that are recognizing the Holocaust, Holocaust too, but the slave trade of 1619 might be those same children that we sired in that land. Hallelujah. That's just information now. You understand? Whether you want to, I can't afford it nowhere. Go ahead.
I mean, I understand. I'm just saying I'm not going. Now, everybody else can go and do whatever. I'm just not going down there.
I just want everybody to get the full understanding of what went down now. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff that went down, you understand, that we're not privy of. You understand? Remember, when we read the scriptures, we're not reading blow by blow, day by day. You understand? Things happened. Things went down. You know, you understand, but the essence of the whole thing is about Hebrew Israelites, you understand, being restored back to who the Almighty originally had them set up to be. But there was a whole scenario of things that had happened that brought us to the slave era, you understand, this slave era, you understand. So you understand, it's just in some instances it gives us a blow by blow and day by day scenarios, but you understand. For the most part, we got to understand that. See, you know, in Kings, it tells us that we were in captivity under a lot of nations, 12 nations. It didn't give us blow by blow. It didn't say, you know, day by day. You understand? But it let us know that we were in those captivities. You understand? But as situations arrive, events happen, you understand, to get us to this point right here. Hallelujah.
I'm going to wait on y'all. I understand about Negro land. I understand running into Africa. But those are not my people. I'm going to wait on y'all until y'all moves us to where he wants me to go. I think it's a setup. I think that Ashkenazi Jews is making their state. They're making their move. They're moving in there so they can influence those people just like they did before, and I believe it's a setup. I'm not going now. For anybody else that decides to go, if they make it available for you to go, let me know how it worked out. But y'all either won't be there. I don't trust them. I don't care what we did with them back 400 years ago, 1,500 years ago. I don't trust them, period. I'm not going to no other nation with no kings and queens. No. When we go, I'm not going to do that. I'm not.
Okay.
So I have made my mind up. That's not the journey that I'm going to take. So everybody has a choice. They have a right to make whatever choice they want to make. If you guys want to do that, that's fine. And you guys can do it and go and be safe and do whatever. I'm not going to live among them. I'm not. I know the track record and all that. I know all that. I'm just not going to do it. You know, I'm not.
I just wanted to bring that to your attention. You understand? I want you to know that events happen. Things got. In order for us to get into this captivity, we went through a lot of different things. We don't know all the things that we went through. He used a lot of people. He put people in place. He did everything. The Almighty is powerful beyond. That's not to say that we are not Hebrew Israelites and they're not Ham. We got to understand that Jerusalem and Israel is African land, so-called Africa. You understand? That's African land. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, you know, you understand that, you know, that's a decision that you have to make within yourself. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody calls us back. You understand? I'll probably be amongst them folks that he called back. I hope to be. You understand? Because I don't have no way of getting over there, and I'm definitely not going over there and be under nobody else's thumb that I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? I would go if I had the way. I would go amongst a bunch of Hebrew Israelites. Although I would have to scrutinize them too, because they've been known to do some filthy stuff amongst our own people. So you understand? I just wanted to make sure that everybody got the big picture. the big picture is that we dwelt with Ham. We sired children with Ham.
And it was wrong, and we were not supposed to do that. And we did it because we was wrong, and we ran out of Jerusalem, running from the people that we was running from the Romans, and ran into that place, and we found some shelter and some safety because it wasn't time for us to go nowhere yet. But it was no different than marrying them other women. That it was, we were not supposed to do that either. We weren't. We were not supposed to marry them other people and get involved with those other people. We weren't. And they still don't own us to this day. It's something like they're getting or something up that they're allowing that to happen. They're not just doing that out of the kindness of their heart because they ain't got no resources either. That land, as rich as it is and all that stuff, it's poor.
You're mistaken there. They got all the resources. What they want is people to contribute. You understand? They want them Europeans to come over there, and that's true. What you're saying? You understand that they have a disdain for American Americans. You understand? They have a disdain for them. You understand? But our biggest problem is the European. If we get him out of our lives, I believe we can work out all our situations. But as long as we got that European that's going to divide and conquer us, that divided and conquered us, you understand, we're going to have a problem. You understand? But know for a surety that the Almighty is the one that's going to straighten all of this out.
Mm-hmm. Sister Lavia, you have one push. You want me to open up your mic? It's so push one. But, yeah, that temple, it seems like it's getting ready to be a real live thing. It says that, let me see, it says the Jews were brought back to Israel. Now, listen to this. The Jews were brought back to Israel for the purpose of spreading the light to nations, Rabbi White said. As the saga instructs the Jews to pray every day, a new light will shine upon Zion, and we should all merit to this light very soon. The light is Torah, the light of Torah which comes to Zion, which reveals the hidden aspects of God. It says the ceremony will also be a part of the Sanhedrin's ongoing efforts to establish a Bible-based international organization to replace the United Nations.
Okay, now.
It says, to this end, they charge Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, president of the Sanhedrin Court, for the NOAD, which preparing a declaration that should describe the spiritual basis for the organization. Rabbi Schwartz is one of the most respected Torah scholars of this generation, a prolific writer, and a winner of the Moskowitz Prize for Zionism. So they're getting ready to create an organization that's spiritually based that will replace the United Nations.
Okay, let me ask a question, Sister, let me ask a question. My question is that, so what do you think about that? What do you think about them setting up and being a light unto the other nations or whatever? Do you think that that is something that the Almighty is accepting, or is that the thing is that for me, you understand, is that the Almighty is not. You understand? They say a lot of stuff, man. These people are Ashkenazi. There's no way possible that they could be Hebrew Israelites. You understand? And so when they talking about going in there and they was brought back to be a light unto the other nations, that I think that that's a fallacy. You understand? That's not even real. You understand? For them to be that's something that they want to do. You understand? But I don't believe that the Almighty will, he may allow that to happen, you understand? But know for a surety, those people, you understand? Those people are the people that brought us over here captive as slaves. They Ashkenazi, not Hebrew Israelites. They don't have no connection. I'm just Just saying. That's not a question. That's just a comment.
Well, I mean, you know, they have to fulfill their purpose. And if they think they're in our land, they have assumed our identity, and the whole world thinks they us. So all the things that they're doing is playing into the end time prophecies anyway. So all of this is being set up for the Antichrist because they're waiting on him to show up. So, yeah, they think they're doing it, and it's not a matter of what I think. They think they're doing it, and they have to play their part. Their role has to be played. It has to be played out, and they're doing it. And they're getting closer and closer to being able to set that temple up in there. And when they do, it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen. Very interesting. This man wrote a book. I was listening to this man the other day. Today he wrote a book that says when a Jew rules the world. And the whole purpose of the book was to let the people know about the 1,000-year reign is that it's going to be a Jewish person that's going to rule the world, which he considers to be the Messiah. And he was like, and he's not going to be white with blue eyes and blonde hair. And he was like, he's going to look like me. Well, he didn't look too much off from the people that he was talking to. But they're getting prepared for whoever this Messiah is supposed to be that's getting ready to come on the scene. And that's the purpose for the temple and all of that stuff. So they're getting prepared. Even the white evangelicals is getting prepared for this person to show up. So, you know, whether we believe it or not, they do, and they have to play their part. They have to play their part out. You know? It's just interesting. You know, and the closer we get, it's the closer we get to going home. But they are definitely playing out their part, and they invited 70 nations to show up to for the dedication of Hanukkah, and that's what they're doing. No? And then Lavia just told me that they got a high schooler singing a racist song for the class assignment, Let's Kill All the Blacks. So they all getting set up for Jacob's Trouble and everything else. They getting set up. You know, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Because guess what? We haven't done anything to them. But she said, that's a school assignment. You know, who does that? You know, where is the filters at? Where are the people that say, no, we're not going to do that?
I have no idea.
Where's all the people that spoke up before? What happened? Where they at? You know, where's the civil rights people that speak up and say, no, you ain't getting ready to do that? Ain't nobody speaking up no more. They're not. Because it is the time of Jacob's trouble.
Yeah.
It really is. The time of Jacob's trouble. And ain't nothing you can do about it. You just got to let it do what it does. But the Most High going to be the one to do it in the end anyway. But he told us this was coming. He told us this was coming. And the hatred is truly there. It is really there. It really is. It's coming back to the surface.
Yeah.
You know? But he said Jacob shall be saved out of it, and that's all we can do. And trust him.
That's all.
Who has a class like that? It says, let's kill all the blacks. High schoolers sing a racist song for class. 10 hours ago.
Where
it says, I'm getting ready to read it to you. It says, for a class assignment. Dover High School students, create a racist song after choosing to do their class assignment on the Ku Klux Klan, sparking outrage. And usually Jingle Bells and the tune to Jingle Bells is meant to invoke happiness, cheer, and overall feelings of Christmas. That is, until a bunch of Dover, New Hampshire high school students took the melody and changed it to refrain, "Let's kill all the blacks," in an incident that has shocked the community. It says, according to the Fosters, the horrid video surfaced online over the weekend, going viral, prompting an investigation on Monday. In a letter to the school district superintendent, William Harbron, slammed the incident as one of extreme racial insensitivity. While the incident was part of a classroom assignment dealing with the Reconstruction period in American history, the impact was harmful, he wrote. According to Harbron, the song was sung by a student in an 11th grade U.S. history class who was studying the period from the Civil War. They were given an assignment to select some event during Reconstruction and to make a jingle out of it, he said. The students picked the Ku Klux Klan and I guess made a song to make the notorious hate group proud, writing the horrific lyrics to the tune of Jingle Bells. What's worse, they got laughed out of it, although they did not know they were being recorded, according to the superintendent. So this stuff is coming to the surface. It's coming to the surface. No?
And then they wonder why we're strapping up.
Yeah, that's what they want to race for.
They about to get because it, but they ain't about to get what they think they're going to get.
Yeah. He said we're still trying to sort it out at this point. Right now it's getting the message out about what occurred. We need to do differently. What can we learn from this, and how can we change our practices from the lessons learned so that everybody feels accepted and wanted here? Who feels wanted? Please. No. Messy. Coming to the surface. It's all coming to the surface.
The latter days, knowledge shall be increased.
Coming to the surface. The party is over. You know, and all that we need to feel this our land, and it's over with, in my opinion. You know? Now, I don't think anybody, hold on, let me open up Sister Lavia's mic. I don't think anybody should retaliate because they ain't going to do nothing at the end of the day. Lavia, your mic is open.
Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters. I'm just, you know, kind of weighing in on some of the conversation, but we know at this time of year there's a certain energy, a certain spirit that's released on the land, and I think that spirit is, you know, as the year changes, it kind of goes away, but I don't think this year that spirit is going to be going anywhere. It seems like they capitalize on it. It's more of the evil that they're bringing, I mean, that's associated with Christmas and all of that pagan stuff. But, I mean, the blatant disgust that they have for us, for whatever reason that they do, what they do, I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. Because, just like what they had in the classroom with those kids singing that song, I mean, what are you teaching them? And all of the swastikas and Hitler and all of, I mean, you know, it's becoming just awful. And, you know, they also put in that monument in the Capitol, the Satanic monument, the temple monument, they added it to the Capitol Rotunda. So it's getting ready to just be out of plain view. So that spirit is getting ready to be something as it grows in intensity and hatred toward us. So it's nothing to be, you know, indulging in, even quietly, even going to Christmas parties. It's, you know, refrain from doing any of that because it's taking on that same energy. you know, now should be a time that we turn away from doing the Christmas stuff and want our kids to go to Christmas parties or end-of-year parties or harvest parties or whatever they come up with. You know, it's all the same thing. I mean, because this is getting ready to get real, and it's not getting ready to go anywhere. It's getting ready to be live and living color in our face. You know, so we need to start getting to the point of understanding what we're dealing with for real, for real. Hallelujah.
They were saying that this whole, the energy now is everything is Luciferian. There's a Luciferian
you can feel
energy
it.
That's going around. You know? From halftime at the Super Bowl game to the music awards to, you know what I'm saying? Anything that has to do with ritualistic stuff is all Luciferian. Ritualistic. And they're doing it right in your face. And most people don't even care that they're doing it. And we become so numb to it that that's what they're doing. Everything is really becoming very ritualistic and Luciferian. You know, and if they put that, you're talking about that Baphomet statue? That's what they're putting in Washington, D.C., is that Baphomet statue?
The Capitol building.
Oh, wow. And when are they supposed to be doing this?
It's going right now. they capitalizing on this energy for real.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this is his time to shine, and, you know, this is his moment to do whatever he got. We better pray. I mean, for real. Because everybody is looking at us like, oh, y'all tripping. You just being overly exaggerated. You just extra. No, this is serious business right here. Everybody needs to be praying. You know, you used to think a long time ago you would have a lot of the churches coming up against some of this stuff just to say, no, we're not having that. They ain't even letting that happen no more. Nobody, the church, Lord have mercy, the church. The church is in such a bad way. It's really sad to know that the black church has gotten to where it is today because, I mean, we know it's not real. You know it's not real. But they did at least try to hold some sort of moral standard. Now, it ain't none. It ain't none. If they doing just with the same thing they doing in Hollywood, they doing the same thing they doing in the music industry, you know, and it just ain't none. Everybody is sleeping with everybody and doing, I can't say everybody, but it's a lot going on. And nobody's speaking up against evil no more. Nobody's really going against it anymore because everybody's trying to hide the stuff that they're doing. Oh, my goodness. So there's no other voice out there to say, no, we don't want this in our society. It's basically anything and everything goes, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse because we can't control what they do in this society. We can't. We live in it every day. We can't control it. We don't set no laws. We're here for punishment. And before, it was at least some white evangelical churches that were saying, no, we're not going to have this. No, you cannot do this. No, this is against our moral code. And no, they ain't saying nothing no more either. Everything is going down. Everything. You know? It's going to get worse. It is going to get worse. Anytime some kids can stand up in a classroom and as an assignment in Ku Klux Klan uniform and sing, "Let us kill the blacks." Really? And he said, "This is something we need to learn from." What do you need to learn? It's just, and here we go. But we knew this was happening. We knew this was going to happen. This is the most I said, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. It is. Crucial.
Yeah, I was reading an article where it was talking about.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I was reading an article earlier where it was talking about the churches and how the government is coming against them. So because they are 501c3,
mm-hmm.
and that they have to comply with what it
mm-hmm.
is, because they're supposed to get the members that are of the church to join in with the whole charade of them being one, the government and the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they are really coming down on the churches on making sure that the people are compliant
yeah.
with what's getting ready to go on.
Because they're going to have a one-world religion, and everybody kept saying, no,
mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening. Yes, they are. They're getting ready to have a one-world religion, and if you don't step up and do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to hold that status. They're going to take that status from you. Just like the one man that got on the man
mm-hmm.
coming in there dressing like a woman, they got on him.
Mm-hmm.
They said he received more backlash from the people, from the powers that be, because he did that boy like that. He did. And they did not stand by him. They came up against him. He sure did. Said, wow. Wow.
But I mean, I think that the people have to get the understanding as to what that means in relationship to us and the end of our captivity. Understanding that at the end, what is it, 8 months and we got about 8 months and what, 16 more days?
40 weeks, yep.
And that means, I mean, don't look at it as two separate incidents. It is one of the same. Most High is getting ready to face his people.
Yeah.
That means that he getting ready to turn around. And they getting ready to have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
They know
yeah.
this. That means that, you know, even though we're sitting up here and we wait, we say every day, you know, I can't wait till we get to the end and the captivity is fulfilled and we at the end, it's a lot getting ready to go on. Because they know that if they can sit there and say that if we can wipe them people out, and he'll never have to come. And they believe me, they're going to try every bit of what they can do to try to do that.
No, they ain't going
to
get that.
But they know that he is getting ready to turn around and face his people, and he also got a host of angels.
Damn, yeah, they know that. Yeah, they know that. Lucifer definitely know
yeah.
that. He know that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's meaning that 8 months ain't that much. I mean, they know that they got to get this ball rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is so true. We just got to live. We got to keep doing what we're doing. You know. I want y'all to hear this. Hold on a minute. I'm going to play this for you real quick. Let me push one so I can get on the cue. That's why y'all couldn't hear me last time, because I forgot to push one. Open up the mic. Okay. Listen to this.
Listen to this real quick. Okay. All right, here we go. Check this out. Listen to what it says.
Can you leave my church and go put on main clothes? And don't come here like that no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hold a standard in here. Whatever you do on the outside is your business. But I will not let drag queens come in here. If y'all gonna come in here, you're gonna dress like a man. Now, whatever you do on the outside, that's your business, but when you come in this house, if you a man, dress like a man. If you a woman, you dress like a woman. I'm not going to allow it. foundation is more important. And God is holding me accountable. Now, whatever you do outside of these doors, I don't bash, I don't judge. But when you come in here, you will not be a drag on me.
Amen.
Lord, the Holy Ghost in me in my spirit that is drag queen sitting in here with wigs on. I'm going to ask you to be removed from that person. I will not play you this game. You will not, I don't care if you don't clap and you don't like it, don't tell me. You will not be playing wigs and wiggles and fooling people up in here. You can move people and say, I got the Holy Ghost for real. I can pick your spirit up in the back of the church.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you don't.
All right, somebody tell me what you think.
What was he saying about the Holy Ghost?
He said, I got the Holy Ghost up in here for real. He said, and I can pick your spirit up from the back of the church. He said, and don't come up in here dressing like no woman. Don't come up in here with no wigs on. We're not going to have no drag queens up in here. He said, whatever you do out there in the street, I don't bash, I don't judge. But when you come up in here, you got to be dressed like a man if you're a man. And if you're a woman, you got to be dressed like a woman if you're a woman. Now, what y'all think about that? Because he caught some backlash for that right there.
He most certainly did. Yeah, he, you know, because the words say that's a sin and abomination to, you know, that homosexuality. Don't say those words, but, you know, it's a sin and abomination. But so he's standing firm on that position, and we know who that is that's giving him backlash, the Luciferians, okay, ones that worshiping them other gods because those are the gods that the Most High gave them. So you can always tell. It's always hot and cold. It's always a way to tell who's hot and who's not. It's always. Now, I don't care what the situation is. I went to a counselor, and she asked me, this was a long time ago, well, last time I had sex, and I said I haven't because I'm, you know, I'm single, and that's the time I was. You know, she had the nerve to tell me she's sorry. Sorry because I'm not sexing and I'm single. Lady,
no,
are you crazy?
Didn't.
Yes, she
yeah, I
did.
Can believe
and
that.
You know
I can
it,
believe that
you know
that's all they think about.
Yeah. And then another time, it was a nurse that said the same thing. I said, what? Are you serious? And that's how they go. That's how they
that's why, you know what, that's why we can't go to them for counseling. We can't go to them for understanding or nothing because we live different.
Right. Absolutely.
We can't. We cannot go to them for that kind of stuff because we live different. And they don't even understand on the culture and the way that we live because they're so busy trying to do the other stuff. And you know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's a norm for people to get sexed up now today. There's no moral standard anymore. There's no code anymore. Hold on, let me open
that's
up
right.
The mic. Eric Cole, 540, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air. But there's no code anymore. People doing whatever they want to do. And like I said, because you're doing the right thing, you're the odd man out. They consider you to be weird.
Yeah, they will destroy everything that you believe in if they get the chance. And also if you look at Holly Weird, whereas a young person who wants to be an entertainer, whether it's a rapper, singer, actor or whatever. They have to be initiated, and it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
You're talking about homosexuality here.
Or it's not
degrading black women. Degrading black women to the point where you got men doing her that is just, or if not women. So, you know, this thing about them being moral and stuff like that, that's been way out the window for a long time. And this country was founded on Satanism. I don't care what they say, because if they would have left, would help them alone, and tried to build the country without forcing us to be here, even though I know that you know we had to be here because of you know what y'all said, but okay, fine, we're here, but how you treated us, in the meantime, degrading us, mm-hmm. raping us, castrating us, doing all kind of things that was just unspeakable.
Mm-hmm.
Having even our sons and our mothers or our fathers and our daughters or, you know, people that's in the family, bloodlines mixing in together, forcing them to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So all these blood. People got to pay for it. They've got to pay for it.
Yeah, I agree. Hold on, let me get Brother Leonard's mic over. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air. What do you think about that?
Well, when our kids are born, that's a spiritual act, and then they're the ones that's bringing our kids in the earth. So that's
yeah.
that.
That's what the man was saying. He was like, "We got children up in here. We do not." Because we were at the table, and somebody was asking me, "Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that's right? Because the church is supposed to be the place where you're supposed to be able to come as you are." And you're supposed to be able to receive Jesus in the church. And was it right for him to put him out like that? Or was I said, I don't even, none of that's right. No kind of way how you cut it is not right. I said it would be the same thing if he was to come into an arena that was surrounded by Hebrew Israelite men. They wouldn't stand for that either.
They stoned him back in the day.
Sure did. Sure, but you can't do that in this society because they passed the laws here. As I said, we can only live in it. We don't have anything to do with the laws and the government. They passed the law here to make all of that okay. This man got on lipstick. He got on eyeshadow. He got on fake eyelashes. He got eyeshadow on his eyes, his eyebrows is arched, he got a wig on his eyes. I mean, he looked like a girl.
Maybe he thought he was Egyptian.
No. Nah, he's a transgender.
Let me ask a question here. Oh, this is Adonia. Y'all mm-hmm. know. they had a young man that came in the church, man, and he denounced being homosexual, and he said men don't look, men does not desire him anymore, or he don't desire men anymore. You understand? That's a form of repentance. So if that young man that you talk about just now, you understand, if he repented, will he be accepted
in the church? And with Yah, I believe anybody can repent with Yah, but is he going there to repent? That's my thing is, that system there is just completely different anyway. But, I mean, if he came around us, if he came into a Knesset where you was or a camp where you was, how long do you think they would let him come in dressed like a woman?
Oh no, he couldn't do that. But it's no difference. One of them is homosexual, and one of them is dressed as a woman, and that's a form of homosexuality. You understand? When you dress up as a woman, you understand? I don't care whether you it says that the man shouldn't wear a woman's garments, and a woman shouldn't wear a man's garments. You understand? So that right there is just as bad as being homosexual. It seems to me that when you do that, that's a form of homosexuality. You understand?
And that's what the pastor was saying, Brother Donia. He was like, you can't come up in here dressed like that. If you're going to be a man or you're going to be a woman. If you're a man, you're going to have to dress like a man. If you're a woman, you're going to have to dress like a woman. Because I'm telling you, I done seen some women out there with fades. They got their hair cut down with a fade. You can tell they're women because they got breasts. And they got their breast taped down and all kind of crazy stuff, and their pants drooping, and I'm just saying. And he said, if you're going to be a man, you're going to have to dress like a man. A woman, you're going to have to dress like a woman. And my question to you all is, do you think that that's right or wrong for him put him on the spot like that and tell him that in front of the whole congregation?
I think that he should stand by his decision. You understand? I'm talking about the pastor or whoever. You understand? If he knows that to be wrong, no, it makes no difference whether they denounce him or anything. You understand? His decision was that it was wrong in his eyes. And the churches, the people in the church, they should recognize and stand behind him. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. And that's what his thoughts was. He was like, my salvation is at stake. I cannot have that. But like LaVia said, when you got that 501c3, you got to play by the rules. You don't just get to say and do whatever you want to do anymore. Because they watching everything you do and what you say. Now, it would be no different if we had something and one of them came up in there dressed like a man or a woman. It would have to be the same thing. You know, I mean, where do you draw the line? And do you just let them come? Because they're going to show out when they come. It's just a matter of time. And then all that we waiting to be delivered and we waiting, I have to go with the pastor on that one. You know, I would have probably did it differently. I probably wouldn't have called him out in front of the whole congregation like he did, but I probably would have did it differently. I probably would have asked one of the brothers to pull him to the side, or I probably wouldn't have had to say nothing. The brothers would have did that on their own. Like, no, man, you can't come up in here looking like that.
There is a leader. He's supposed to go out.
He called him out publicly, so it was only fitting and proper that he called him out. Because by him coming in there, he was calling him out.
Well, that's what he said. He said, I've told you before, and I've told you many times not to do that, and you keep doing it anyway, so this is what it is.
Right.
So, you know, he did tell him. He said, I have told you before that we have a job. But then my question is, what do you do with the ones who had reconstructive surgery? The ones who have had their, you know what, cut off, and they basically, what do you do? Well, how do you do something about that? Is she now a girl?
Well, the Most High said that take them outside the city and root out evil out of Israel. So by not doing that, that's how you get to the point where now Eden went and got a surgery. But if we was keeping our law, in fact, that would have been over with.
I know, but guess what? We in captivity, Brother Leonard. We in these lands. They're making this stuff legal. How do you minister to a person who has had that done? What do you say to them? Because my question is, will the Most High, if they repent, will the Most High receive them? Will they be a eunuch because they have had their stuff castrated? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, would he have to live still as a man since he is a man? And I mean, if he's got implants, he can always get those taken out. And he would have to live as a eunuch.
He had his other stuff cut off though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if he had everything, if he had his parts removed, then he would have to live as a eunuch. And if he got breast implants, if he has breast implants, he would have to take them out.
He would have to take.
In the case of a Hebrew Israelite man, you understand, he would have to live on the outside of the congregation. He could not come into the congregation at all.
See, so that's what the Most High say. You know, that's what he say. You know, because now, guess what? Now they say anything and everything goes.
Oh. That's just like the devil.
They calling the boy sugar baby. Okay? And the pastors that's gay, they sugar daddies. So you got sugar daddies and sugar babies.
Oh.
In the church.
But does it make it right by Yah? I don't think so.
No.
You have to go by what does the Most High say? His rules apply. Not man's.
No, they do. I mean, what can you tell a person? If you don't change, death is the ultimate end of it all.
Right.
That's what
it's
death.
It's like a catch-22 because it's so rampant now that by him standing up saying something, everybody in there have somebody in their household or they dealing with that's gay. And so they can't really say nothing because they're going to hurt the person that they're dealing with feeling. So it's a catch-22.
Well, You know what? Like I told them in my family, I said, you know, I don't condone it. You know how I feel about it. If you choose to do it, this is the outcome it's going to be. You're going to die. It's as simple as that. There's nothing else I can say, you know, because nobody can justify it. But that's why I say we're living in the land that other people have, that the laws are being passed by other nations. And they allow these people to do this kind of stuff, and they make it seem like it's okay. You know, and they make it seem like it's okay. So the people in your family or family members or even friends, they be like, ain't nothing wrong with this. Everybody doing this. You the odd man out. It's like, no, sweetheart. The guy that I tell her, he don't play that under no circumstance. You go die. Yes, and this was a young man. He was about 38, 39 years old. And we had this conversation, and he kind of looked up at me like, right, whatever. I said, no, really, real talk. Long as you know that the outcome is death, there's no wiggle room for that at all whatsoever when it comes to the Most High, especially when it comes to the black men of Israel, men or women. That's not accepted. But because the Most High has not been around, and because he has really not shown himself like he did in the days of Egypt, everybody's just doing what they want to do. And granted, guess what? It's a lot of things that's punishable by death that the Most High has in the scriptures. So it all has, everything that we do has to come under the microscope. It can't just be homosexuality, because it's a lot of things that's punishable by death.
So
it's just when a
realistically,
go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, yeah. So realistically, let's say if Yahawashi was in that church and he was like there, okay, talking to the young man. Honestly, what do you think would be the outcome if it was Yahawashi talking to him?
If the man wasn't ready to repent, he would have to be put to death. But like
that's
I said,
exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But we can't put anybody to death. You can't put nobody to death in this land for the laws that they pass. You can't do that. That's only when we come together and we have our own government.
Okay, but this is the scenario I'm thinking about. If that was a situation where Yahawashi, like you said, he had already told the young man, you know, that's not acceptable, don't do it again, or please don't do it again, however way he worded it, and he did it again. If Yahawashi is over the congregation, I wouldn't think we'd be under the rule we're under now. I would think we'd be under his rule.
We wouldn't. He wouldn't be in that church right now as it states now today. He wouldn't be there. So that wouldn't even be. Now, if he was there, guess what? Okay, let's do this scenario. We're on our way to the wilderness, and they come with us. Then what?
Okay.
What do we say to them on the boat? What do we say to them on the way to the wilderness in getting there? Well, do you just let them go they are and think it's going to be? I mean, what are we going to do?
You tell them turn or burn, that's all.
Okay.
Would you say turn or burn?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of research. Let me tell you something. He ain't playing, but you know, like when you come on back here, if the people do not pass underneath this rock, they will be destroyed. Well, that's all there is to it. Because he took a set of sin, is not going to rise its ugly head for a second time. And he's trying to get people ready for the Father, so that when the city comes with the Father,
that's true. I mean, you know, it's gonna have to be some serious lessons. Your phone is fading in and out, sir. It's gonna have to be some serious lessons to let them know. I mean, you can come at your own risk, but we're gonna tell you right now that's not gonna be accepted.
That's right. That's what you gotta do. You gotta tell them. You gotta warn them. If not, their blood will be upon your head.
Yeah.
You don't want that. I know, I know.
You come at your own risk, but that won't be accepted. That right there is open, blatant. That ain't going to be accepted. So you have to decide what you're going to do.
And it just ain't only the homosexuals. I'm talking about even those people who like to be committing adultery as well as fornication.
That's what I'm saying.
Even
just, that's what I'm saying.
Just looking
yep.
upon a woman lustfully. That's not right.
Yep.
So, you know,
yeah.
it's going to be working out where it's not only for the men but also for the women, because they can't be
women.
Walking around with their, you know, TNA showing. They can't do that.
No.
They cannot do that.
No. No, absolutely not, under no circumstances. But, I mean, you know, that's why I said when you have the brothers that is on the street corner and the guy walk up to them and they dress like women, what do you say? No, how do you handle that in love? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, because, you know, it's the same
you
thing, but like you said, those that cheating on their wives and husbands, the women that's cheating and running around, the men that's cheating, it's the same thing. Those is punishable by death, too.
That's right. You can pull them to the side and talk to them and gently persuade them. Now, it's not you doing it, but it is the Ruach who is doing it.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Sodomites, all that's punishable by death.
Right. And I'm quite sure that those sodomites who saw Yahushua when he walked the earth, some of them did change. The Bible really doesn't speak about it. But I'm quite sure that some of them did change because they saw him. And they saw what he was all about, and that the character of Yah was a beautiful thing to them, and they wanted to get to know him further.
Well, I hope so.
But you gotta also remember how this Bible was translated by the Europeans into this language that we speak, and understanding that we
right.
come from them, and we also read history as well as reading the apocryphal books, and also the main
right.
thing, ask the Ruach to teach you, ask Yah to send you the Ruach to teach you, and he will.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like I said, we have so much stuff. And then maybe once the curse is over with, maybe once that's over with, the Most High will change the minds of our family members, our brothers and sisters, and some of our people that are have some thinking. And not just homosexuality and lesbianism, but all of the thinking that we have taken on here in this land because everybody else is doing it. Maybe that's going to be the change in our minds where we don't even think like that no more. Maybe that's going to be, maybe the atmosphere around us is going to change to the point where they'll look at themselves and say, I don't want to look like this no more.
Well, isn't the battle for the mind anyway? That's
yeah,
what the battlefield
yeah.
is? Okay, then, there you go.
Yes, in the mind. So maybe that's what it is, because I know I need some work. I don't want anybody to think that y'all ain't think she perfect, because I need work. I do. I need some work. I got
Second
some
Chronicles
I need 7, to straighten out in my own life.
Second Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah. That's what it says. My people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I heal their land. So absolutely no question about it. And it's not bashing anybody or coming down on anybody in any kind of way, because as a nation, we tore up from the floor. We need work.
That's right.
Anytime that you've gone through 400 years of mistreatment and slavery, like the sister said, we can't go talk to nobody, because the people that are counselors, they don't understand what we've gone through. They don't understand how we live. And how our culture is. They don't even understand us.
They don't want to understand us because they want the money to keep flowing in. If you go on, you keep people not only physically sick, you can keep them mentally sick. And since
yeah.
all these drugs that they always passing on out, if we keep coming to them to fix the body, and yet the body is not fixed with the drugs that they give us, when we need the natural food, the clean water, the clean air, and the same thing for the mind. You have to give it for it to heal. You have to go in
yeah.
and want to change.
Fading in and out.
Want to be doing right.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, we haven't had any sort of any sort of counseling after 400 years. Nobody has said, well, let's get all these people together and at least let's talk to them. And they just threw us into the everyday hustle and bustle things, and we had to figure it out the best way we could. And some people, you know, they just did what they did. So as a whole nation, we need some help. Everybody needs some help. We need, and I believe that that's what y'all's going to provide us in the way of our hearts and the way we think in our minds. So, you know, there is hope for all of us to be able to repent and change. Because we got to. Ain't none of us going up in there with no mess. Nobody.
He already has provided it. That's his word. And if we trust and obey it, he's there for us. He always has been. We are the ones who are always running from him. We are the ones.
You got two examples. Did none of those people get on the boat? And did none of the angels return back to heaven? So that's examples right there.
You got that right. You got that right. For real, the angels been stuck down here for the whole time for doing what they was doing. You got that right. So, I mean, you know, and then, you know, I know they listen to us because now all of a sudden they talking about Yah. I'm talking about the black church now. All on YouTube now, his name is Yah. And they in the Old Testament teaching stuff. You know, and it's like, that's good. That's all good. I think that's good that you all are learning. But we got to step it up a little bit more. We're going to have to come correct all the way. And pray for each other that we make it through this.
They still keeping Sunday.
They are. That's true. And the Most High has to open up their eyes. You know, but of course, you know, like we always knew, the black church was going to try to find a way to evolve into what we're doing and do it from their own standpoint, but it's not going to work. So we have to be able, you know, like I said, well, all we can do is pray for them and work on us. That's it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pray for them and work on us because I need work. I need some help. For real, I really do. You know, and I do. I have to. Lord, help me. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. But since I feel you, when you went to that counselor and she laughed at you and all the rest of them said what they said, they don't even understand the lifestyle that you live. They don't even understand what it feels to be like that and to be clean like that and don't have to worry about nothing. They don't even understand how that feels. They know nothing about that. They are so distant and caught up in so much sin that it seems like it's normal to them. They don't know nothing about that. But guess what? If you look real deep into them, you'd have probably been better off counseling her because she probably would end up crying before it was all over with.
She will.
They was. You know, they're not happy, and they're going to laugh at you. Guess what? You probably could have counseled her better than she could have did you.
No, that's right.
They have no idea what it's like to walk in his laws and his statutes and his commandments and really enjoy the Sabbath. I enjoy the Sabbath. At first, it was kind of rough getting used to it because I was so used to doing things on Saturday. But I look forward to going down on Friday. I enjoy the Sabbath, and it's such a part of my routine now that I look forward to going home and resting. And the Most High is right, and he knows what's right. Everybody needs to just shut down and rest.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
They do. You know, but you have to be able to enjoy that and do that with him to be able to understand the power of that and what that involves. That's a whole other thing all by itself. It's a beautiful thing to be able to celebrate the Sabbath with Yah and just rest.
That's why when you pray, you should ask him to give you the delight in resting in his Sabbath, in the delight in praying to him, and in the delight in reading his word.
Yeah,
because when you ask
absolutely.
That, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. But if you
absolutely.
Look at it like some type of routine, have to do this, then eventually you will bow out.
Yeah, because some people do. At first they think it's burdensome, and it's not. It really isn't. It's just the way we have been trained. We have been trained to get up on Saturday morning. That's when you go wash the car. That's when you clean up the house. That's when you wash the clothes. That's when you do all your household chores. We've been trained to do that. But when you do it the way he wants you to do it, you still got enough time to do what you need to do and get ready for the next week. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the dietary law. I am so glad I don't put all that stuff in my body no more. You know, I don't eat all that stuff, but the whole world do. And, you know, and it's like, well, and you can't expect him to understand that. They'll never understand him. But guess what? They'll swear up and down that that's who they serve in their churches, in their Bible, and they so far away from him, they don't even realize it. They don't even understand. They really don't. They really don't. And it's in what you do. It's not what you say. It's in what you do. And when you ask them, well, why don't you keep the Sabbath? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? Or keep the commandments. Why don't you do that? Everybody got an excuse. They got an excuse. But they don't understand us. We have to be the light to the world. We have to explain the benefits of keeping his law. We have to tell the people the benefits of that and the help that comes into that and how he protects us and keeps us if we do this. He said, for if they do them, they will live in them. That's a protection that he gives. We have to explain to them the power that goes along with that. So, you know, but the world's not ready. They don't understand because everybody is living, they're doing the direct opposite of what the Most High wants them to do. And it's difficult. They're not happy. Since I can guarantee you that lady ain't happy, and she's probably making buku money, and she's not happy.
She's dealing with the earthquake right about now.
Right, and guess what? You can be single and celibate and happy in Yah. Okay.
Hallelujah.
And they don't even understand that. They'll look at you like, what's wrong with you? And it's like, oh, what's wrong with you? How many partners you got? So they don't understand the lifestyle that we live. None of them understand that. They don't. I was talking to a young lady last night, and she was telling me about this Israelite lady. Woo! I don't know. Sis, I'm telling y'all ladies that's on this line, we gotta get our girls call going. We need that. Because they were telling me about the behavior of a lady that's supposed to be Israelite, her husband's supposed to be Israelite too, and the way that she talks to him, it was just terrible. It was terrible. I couldn't even believe it. And people call me and tell me stuff, and I'm like, no, she didn't. And she's like, Sister Yaini, yes, she did. I said, no, she didn't. She said, yes, she did. She told her husband, if you keep it up, I'm going to slap the shit out of you. I said, no, she didn't. She said, yes, she did. In front of the men.
I'd be like, bring it.
I said, no, she didn't. She said, yes, she did. I said, I don't believe you. You lying. She said, yes, she did. We need some help, ladies. I mean, for real. Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. We got to help our women. We got to come together and help our women because that's completely unacceptable. That is unacceptable.
Absolutely
we cannot.
Unacceptable.
That's unacceptable. I mean, for real.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I said, oh, no, she didn't. They said, yes, she did. Her husband.
He need help. He need help.
No respect for it, none.
Take your top.
Can you imagine? It's unreal. It's unreal. It's unreal what this has done to us. Like you said, Brother Linda, both of them, everybody needs to be somewhere sitting down. That's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
That's how they have been training our women since slavery.
That is true.
They put the woman in charge, and they de-emasculated the men.
Oh.
So this is what they have been trying to do, and they've been very successful about it. And then with the food that's injected with the female hormones, such as the McDonald's chicken.
that chicken nugget?
Look up at what our kids eat today. A whole bunch of them.
You're fading in and out. We can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
What I was saying was that our women have been in charge, they have been given power over us by the white man. And our children, even today, they are immaculated, so that way they can grow up like boys. They've done this on purpose. They don't want a black warrior class, male black warrior class in this society.
You still say now, I don't know if you're moving in a certain direction or what, but I heard they don't want boys like girls and girls like boys.
Yeah, they want girls like boys and boys like girls.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you on that. You know, but I'm going to say this. I have had the experience of doing a lot of things. I'll say that in my personal life. I've had the experience of playing a lot of different roles, say this. And being a single parent and being a single mother raising children and doing what you had to do, I can understand that, you know, females being a little rough around the edges. I can understand that, lady. But there's a difference between that and respecting each other. And we have to learn how to first respect ourselves, and we have to learn how to be quiet. We do. We have to learn how to be quiet. And there's a way to say anything. But to just, that's just unacceptable. I mean, I don't even know if I could have been in that whole arena and watched that. I would have had to say something to her, and I probably would have been out of line. But that's just unacceptable. It's just not, that's not going to work, because that's just really not going to work. We're not supposed to conduct ourselves like that, and we're not supposed to talk to each other like that. And my thing is, you don't talk to your boss like that when you go to work. Now, if you would have walked up and said that to your boss, you would have been packed up and on your way out the door. And they have more respect for those people that they work with every day, and you can go home and talk to each other like that?
Some of them do far worse than that.
I don't want that kind of love. That's the kind of love I don't want. That's not love. I don't want that. That's not, no, that's just unacceptable. That's just unacceptable. So we are definitely going to put our women's call together so that we can start to talk and help each other, because that's just rough. I mean, it's like, whoa. And you know what? I know it's to be true, because I know a lady that does her husband like that, and this is an older couple, both of them alcoholics, both of them, her and him, and he just walks behind her like he's a little puppy, and she talks to him any kind of way. She does. She talks to him any kind of way. And I remember being in her presence, and I just was looking at her like, what in the world? You know, just the way she talks to her, any kind of way. But I know it does happen, you know, and I don't know. That's just unacceptable. Oh, my goodness. It's just heartbreaking. It is just heartbreaking to hear that kind of stuff. And I know it gets worse than that, and we got to stop all that. All that whooping and hollering and fighting and cussing each other, that's got to stop. And these people, you all on this line, we have to help the people to understand, because we can't go to the other people for counseling. They don't understand the life we live. We have to help each other. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine somebody saying that to me. Even my own husband saying that to me. I cannot imagine. You going to do what? I'm stupid. Oh, no. It's just, there's a line to me that you just don't cross, whether you're married or not. You just have to respect one another. Because, like I said, you go out in the street and you punch that clock, you have the utmost respect for those executives and those people that walk around in suits with their briefcases on, and you're a totally different person in that arena. And then you come home, and then you're the dragon lady. It's like, really?
trouble.
Dragon Lady don't play.
She'll be by herself. That's what's going to end up happening because ain't nobody else going to put up with that. She might get bopped upside the head, and then she'll be wondering why. And I don't condone fighting. I don't. I don't condone none of that. But I don't know. I've never met the people that I know wasn't going to tolerate that. They would just leave her.
No, you just dot the I, and then you fly.
You, that's right. I mean, you know, because if you don't know how to do, she needs some help. She does. She needs some help. You know, because that's not that much anger in the world to disrespect one another, but it is with men and women out there that do that to each other. I don't want that kind of a relationship. You keep that. I just don't want that. That's just not, because evidently we do need counseling and we do need for somebody to sit down and some of the more aged brothers that had successful relationships and deal with the brothers, you know. And sometimes it takes the brothers to deal with the women.
If a man do that, you're taking a great deal of a chance because you could go ahead on and forget that you had did, you know, what you had did to that woman 2 months ago. And she's plotting and planning. And you go home, she fix you a nice meal, nice bath. You think you're going to be getting some tonight? And after you get it, you go to sleep. You talk about baseball bats and hot grits and hot grease.
That's premeditated. That's premeditated, and that's not, again, that's not how you have a relationship. You should never have to feel like that, and a woman should never have to plot like that to get you back for something that you did. We have to learn how to communicate with each other and talk, but most of the time we don't know how to do that. So everybody's mad at each other, and things come out of your mouth that shouldn't come out. They just thought. No, you should never feel like you're scared to go to sleep or she's plotting something. She goes, that I would not do that. That's right up there with if anything happened to me, you know Johnny did it. Well, what you going home for then? If you're out of the situation and you're in a safe place, why would you go back into a situation that you know is deadly or detrimental to your life? And then you're going to tell me why you're out of the situation that if anything happened to you when you go back into the situation that it's Johnny, that's crazy.
We have a sick head. We have a sick head. That's all there is to it.
That is ridiculous. So that's right up there with that to me, if you feel like that. If a person feels like, oh, she's going to get me, I know she plots, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. We do need some help. We need a lot of help. We do. We really, really do. So I don't know. It's just. Woo.
Mm-hmm. We are a sottish people.
Don't know, but we gonna help each other. We gonna get this thing right. I believe we can do it. I know we can do it if we stick together as a nation and as a group of people. We can make it through this together. And I believe it's gonna be a lot of changes when y'all come on the scene. Sister Levia, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Since I think that we're not going to have to worry about it too much, I think that that's all the plan of the Most High in the process of us dealing with these last months, that we're going to learn how to work together. We're going to learn what we have in common. We're going to learn how to be loving toward each other and thankful for what we have. We're going to learn. We ain't got to worry about it. Most High got it all figured out.
Yeah, I got scripture for that.
Go for it.
I got scripture for them. For behold, the day cometh, they shall burn them as an oven, and all their proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day they come, shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts.
Dang, brother.
That's the remedy.
Huh?
That's the remedy.
You going to burn them up?
Well, that's what he said. What
do they say? Lord, okay, I believe you. Lord. Well, we going to get there. Trust me, I really do believe we're going to get there in love, and we're going to be able to love one another like we're supposed to and not be angry with each other or be hurt or none of that stuff, because we need to heal. We have a lot of healing to do. you know, and a lot of talking to do to each other. We really do. You know, sometimes you just got to rethink, you know, and go back and just tell, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And there's nothing wrong with saying it. You know.
Yeah, I was listening to this guy talking. I was listening to this guy that was talking about the Europeans with JFAT and how long they've been engaging in with messing with little kids and homosexuality. It's been thousands and thousands of years. So that's in their DNA. It's in their DNA.
Right.
So ain't nothing you can say to them or talk to them about that they're going to stop doing that. They ain't going to stop. It's in their DNA. That's why the Most High said, don't mingle with them. Don't be with them. Don't let your sons marry their daughters and let your daughters marry their sons because of who they are. Can't nothing help them.
Well, I was talking about Israel when I was talking about us coming together and talking, you know, being in the curse for as long as we have been in it and, you know, living the lifestyle that we've been made to live.
But he said, he also tells us all Israel ain't Israel.
That's true.
Because
that's
all the intermingling is going to happen. And so
that's true.
So that's the basic. That's the foundation.
And the lifestyle that you choose to live, you choose it on your own. Nobody puts a gun to your head to put cigarettes to your mouth to make you to drink alcohol or to be taking drugs and to go out there
to
steal and to destroy. It's up to you to say no.
Hallelujah. He gave us free will, free reign.
Right.
So you can choose evil or you can choose righteousness. Now, one thing that we have to understand is that when we go back into the wilderness, the Almighty is going to give us that alternative. You can do righteousness or you can do wickedness. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness save your soul and your family. Wickedness, there's no end to wickedness. Hallelujah.
That's true. That is true. It's a choice that we all have to make, and hopefully we will be given an opportunity to repent and make better choices under different circumstances.
Why not make them now?
I'm not saying we can't make them now. I'm talking about the ones who don't know they're Israel. You know what I'm saying? Once they realize who they are, they'll be able to make better choices. You know what I'm saying? Once the Most High opens up their eyes, because right now they don't see it.
They may not see it now, but they will. But the thing is that you can still make better choices, because before I announced myself as being a...
You know, that's repenting. We must repent. It says, turn from our wicked ways. Repent and call on the Almighty and seek His face. See, we got an opportunity of a lifetime here. We ain't going to get this opportunity all the time. This is our one-time-in-a-lifetime opportunity. When we turn from our wicked ways and seek the Almighty and pray, and He will forgive our sins. You understand? When we get into that wilderness, we're going to get that one-time opportunity. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You understand what I'm saying? It's... You know, and I know we want to call the Almighty for having that one-time opportunity, but we gotta remember that we stepped all over the Almighty's integrity. He had some integrity amongst the gods, those so-called other beings in his way. You understand? And we disrespected him. You understand? He brought us up. You understand? And we stepped all over his integrity. We got to remember that stuff, man. And we got to understand that we still doing it. That's why we got to repent. Hallelujah.
That's true. Well, all I can say is we have plenty of work to do. And we got 9 months, 40 weeks to get this thing done. And once we get where we need to go, you know, then I really believe that the Most High will use us to be able to help those people that are transitioning into who they are to get there. And, you know, we've gone through enough to know what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. You know, because everything that you feel like you want to say, you just don't have the right to say. And, you know, the tongue, it's the book of the Bible say the tongue is the smallest member of the whole body and the most deadliest. It can either kill or make alive.
The tongue will set everything on fire.
It will. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we need to just be quiet, ladies. Just be quiet. Even if you're mad, just be quiet. Just don't say nothing. Because we get to, I know, oh, my goodness gracious and mercy. I have changed. Thank you, y'all. Thank you so much. And it took persecution and trials and tribulations for him to be, I know what I'm talking, please stop doing that. You don't want to learn this lesson by getting chastened by the Most High. Trust me, you don't. So
you
no
sure
matter
don't.
How mad you get it. I do, believe me. Well, no matter how mad you get, don't say nothing. Just don't say nothing. Because it takes two people to argue, and nobody's going to argue by themselves. They're not. So, I mean, you know, you got to do that. We got to do that. We have to learn how to do that. No matter who right or wrong, just don't talk. Just be quiet. Because Scripture says, "False answer turns away wrath." It really does. Try it and see. The word works. It works. It really does work. No, so we got to learn that, though. We have to learn that. If we don't come equipped with it already in us, we have to learn that. So we have a lot of work to do. You know, we love y'all. We love everybody. We don't want to, you know, put anybody on the spot. I didn't call no names or nothing. I just want you to know. You know, these are some of the things that we're dealing with. And like I said, sis, the next time, you know, when you go to the council, you call her, ask her if she needs to talk. Because you can understand her better than she can understand you. Trust me. Because she probably needs to talk. Y'all probably need to just switch places and be like, what's going on with your life? Really? Well, do you know y'all? Because if you keep it long, wouldn't none of that stuff be happening? You know? The world needs the Most High. They don't even understand the life that we live and the peace that we have. They need it.
Mm-mm. Mm.
You know? They really do. They're going around like you said, Sister Levere, the hamster wheel. They'll never get off that hamster wheel. They ain't.
They're not. They don't even know they own the hamster wheel. This is reality to them. There's nothing more. Nothing less. This is it.
Yeah. And no matter how much money you have, it's still the same thing. Money is not the issue. Money does not solve those issues. This is a moral thing. This is a God thing. You have to understand that this is a righteous thing. And the Most High way of doing things is righteous. It just is.
That's right.
No, we have to learn that. We have to learn that the hard way. Some people was raised being cutthroat. They were. Some people was raised getting over on people. They were. They don't even know how to have a relationship because they was raised by their own parents on how to be cutthroat. You know, oh my goodness. But anyway, that's a whole nother class and a whole nother lesson. We are running up on the time for us to end the class, and I don't want to hold too long because I'm tired, but I want to give everybody a chance to say something. Sister Levere, what would you like to say to the people before we dismiss?
I would like to say that surrendering yourself unto the Most High is the most beautiful thing that you could ever do. Learning to know that He loves you and just keeping your head focused and your thoughts focused on Him. It's the most beautiful thing and the most peaceful transition you ever have. Keep studying, and we love you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Brother Leonard.
Study, keep yourself approved.
All right. Area code 540.
hang in there. Don't entangle yourself too much into this world because it's going away.
All right, Brother Donia. Brother Donia.
Yeah, shalom. Trust in the Almighty with all your heart and soul and keep his commandments. That's the duty of man. Hallelujah.
All right, Sister Zaire.
Hallelujah.
Seek his face some more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And on Hallelujah. That note, we say shalom. We will see you all on Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our regular class, our Bible class. The number is 319-7-9197. I'll say it again, 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256-039-POUND. 256-039-POUND. You all have a wonderful rest of your evening. And good night, everybody, and shalom.
Hello.
Shalom.
Shalom.